Heavenly Father, how many blessings can we count this morning? Oh Lord, they are numerous. Lord, your Spirit is with us, and that's blessing enough. We thank you that we are in your holy presence. We thank you that we can come on this holy Sabbath day to worship you because you have saved us to the uttermost. We ask and continue to pray that your Spirit will rest upon us, that our minds may indeed be open. Open only to your word and to your will. I pray in a specific way now that the words that are spoken here that come out of my lips will only come from you and not me. For Lord, I'm only a vessel. Your will needs to be done in the lives of every soul. May the words that are spoken come from your throne of grace be as hot coals, that they may nurture us and lead us into the paths of righteousness and salvation. Is our prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Signs, they're all around us. The world that we live in skates on a very, very thin ice. The line that separates the civilized world from barbarianism is thinner than we thought. Men's hearts are indeed failing them for fear as they see the veneer unraveling before their very eyes. Come with me to Jeremiah chapter 8 in your Bible. If you have watched the news this week, there is trouble in the Middle East. There are bombs being detonated, destroying homes, destroying lives. Human beings blowing themselves up in the name of God. I would like to share with you a scripture text from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 8 talks about a bomb. A bomb in Gilead. Jeremiah 8:22 says, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" I will tell you that Jesus Christ is the balm of Gilead, and now human bombs and all kinds of bombs of destruction have replaced the balm of Gilead. And that's the problem. Until Jesus Christ is accepted as Savior and King in Palestine, there will be no peace in Palestine. Terrorists strap bombs to their bodies and walk into family restaurants and kill the innocent because they are serving a false Messiah. Our scripture reading this morning talks about the Holy Land. Zechariah chapter 2, verses 10 and 12. "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee." Verse 12, "And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation." There is a place in the world that we live in called the Holy Land. The Holy Land, as we know it, is comprised of Palestine, Israel, and Jordan. But is it in fact holy? Strife, turmoil, gunpowder, bullets, bombs, and bloodshed. I visited a website recently that takes its visitors on a photographic journey of the Holy Land. And this website displays the following message. "Visit the Holy Land from the safety of your home computer. Take a photo journey." That's a conflict in terms, isn't it? Will things get better in the Holy Land before Jesus comes? The Word of God tells us no. If this old world lasts another 50 years, and I believe it'd be shorter than that, do you realize that the current population of 6 billion people will skyrocket to 9 billion? 9 billion. Most of that increase will be in developing countries. And the Middle East is one of these as well. There will even be more people jammed into that volatile spot. We can manipulate human genes, apparently, but we cannot master human nature. We've tried and tried, but the only hope is in Jesus Christ. He is coming. Jesus must come into my heart, into your heart, and finally he will come to take us home. From today's headlines, Palestine is often viewed as a God-forsaken place. It is dangerous for its residents, let alone its tourists. It all started when Abram allowed Hagar into his tent. God promised the Holy Land to Abram's descendants. Is that not right? Abraham had two boys. What were their names? Ishmael and Isaac. That's right. Mohammed was an Ishmaelite, and Isaac was the first Jewish child. Genesis chapter 16, verse 12 gives the following statement about Ishmael and his character. Genesis 16, 12 says, "And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." In other words, this text says that there will be no cure for the conflict in the Middle East. As long as there are Muslims and Jews, they will never find true peace between them. They will be at each other's throats. The war today in Palestine could very well escalate, drawing into its vortex Iran, Iraq, Syria, and who knows who else. Mideast oil would surely be affected. The last days, folks, are not child's play. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." We are supposed to be in a new world order, but what we see on our TV screens is a new world disaster. Terrorism is rampant everywhere, causing bloodshed and violence. The sword, folks, cannot bring salvation. Only Jesus can save. So what is next? Only God knows what is next, but he gives some hints in his word. Matthew 24 and verse 6. I invite you to turn there. Matthew 24 verse 6. Some very familiar text to us. Jesus speaks to us about the last days. Matthew 24 verse 6 says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet." The true terrorists are not the terrorists that fly jets into buildings. The true terrorists today are the ones that penetrate the human heart with their deadly cargo of sin. Our greatest danger is not anthrax, but apathy. Our greatest loss is not buildings, but belief. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." Interesting word there, speedily. "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" That's the greatest danger, isn't it? Are the vast multitudes mired deep in sin today? Are we, as an end-time movement that is to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ and the truth that is in Jesus, are we mired in sin as well? Only God can read the heart. May we as a people of the book search our hearts and repent if we have indeed fallen short of the glory of God. The Lord will rejoice, and he will bring restoration and revival amongst his people, and that's a promise. The devil has the world today engrossed in prostitution, pornography, pleasure, and profit. Love of money must be replaced by love for the Master. Just before World War II, Nazi Germany made laws taking religion out of all government functions, taking prayer out of all public places. God was removed from all government activities. Sound familiar? We here in North America have been systematically doing the exactly same thing. It is high time to get back to the God who will save us to the uttermost. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by" who? "By him," by Jesus Christ, "seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Where does he make intercession for us, folks? In the most holy place, that's right. Let's never forget that. Jesus continues with his table of contents for the last days in Matthew chapter 24, but Matthew 24 and verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. In other words, divers means various places. Pestilence means any virulent or fatal contagious disease. AIDS could be referred to here. 1,800 new babies are born every day infected with HIV. 1,800 every day. 6 new people become infected each minute. U.S. News and World Report says that AIDS is the worst plague ever to hit human population. So far. Continue on in Matthew 24, verse 8. All these are what? It's just the beginning of sorrows. And let's continue reading on from 9 down to 12. Then shall they deliver you. Who are they delivering up here? God's people. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall arise. Do we see that today? And shall deceive many. Are many being deceived today? And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, including Christians. Is love toward God growing cold? Is wickedness increasing? Did you know that born-again Christian adults are more likely to experience a divorce than are non-born-again Christians? Do you realize that? Another fact, just some facts just to get us to think along these lines. Christians spend 7 times as much time on entertainment as they do on spiritual activities. Now, this is from a research group report, George Barna Research Group. Fewer than 1/3 of all teenagers are likely to attend a Christian church once they are living independent of their parents. And belief that the Bible is literally true. Do we believe the Bible to be literally true? Well, belief that the Bible is literally true has now dropped from 65% of North American adults to 33% since 1960. And that's from the Gallup poll. Now, Barna suggests that North America is now entering a period that historians will someday regard as the beginning of the era of moral anarchy. Do we see moral anarchy in society today? There's no doubt that we do. This is happening very fast. Great changes are soon to take place in our world, and the final movements will be what? Rapid ones. Has anyone here ever had a fender bender? You know, some of you have been unfortunate to have a fender bender. No, I have too. Just as an example, or perhaps an illustration. You're driving along the countryside on a nice, perhaps Sunday afternoon. The sun is shining, it's nice and warm. Very little breeze, you get the windows down. And you're just in a very peaceful, meditative mode as you're just cruising down the highway, enjoying nature, enjoying the scenery. And all of a sudden, you turn around a corner and someone just backs out of their driveway and whams right into you. Now, that's a fender bender. Were you ready for it? Why not? It was unexpected, wasn't it? You weren't prepared for that. So what's the illustration here? We need to be prepared. That's really the bottom line of that illustration. The final movements will be rapid ones. The time of the end is at hand. In our Bible presentations, we have learned from the book of Daniel and Revelation that we indeed are living in the time of the end. There's no doubt. Do we know when Jesus is coming? God has not revealed a specific date, but in His love and mercy, He has given us precious signs so that we will know that His coming is soon, even at the doors. Events are changing to actually bring about the second coming of Christ. The former generation stood on the threshold of these things. Seems like we are standing, witnessing the unraveling of society that we live in. Just months ago, the world seemed safer. Now the globe itself seems to be changing. Here's a little news item that I didn't realize. There is an ice island the size of Rhode Island that has broken away from Antarctica, and some of that ice was made before Jesus was born. This has never happened before. But on a more global scale, the world is disintegrating. Events are capturing the attention of prophecy students. Signs are everywhere. Massive volcanoes have erupted and will erupt. Earthquakes are threatening. The areas most prone to earthquakes are where? The most populated areas. Come back with me to Daniel chapter 2 in the Bible. This tells the approximate time that Jesus will come. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 34. Daniel 2 and verse 34. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them in pieces. Now we know that this will happen quickly, because this stone was cut out without hands. Smote or utterly destroyed the great image representing what? What did that image represent? The great kingdoms of the world. The word smote means to strike with powerful effect. A quick strike. A powerful strike. And who does this stone or rock represent? Jesus Christ. He's coming quickly. Jesus comes approximately in the time of the 10 toes of that great image. The 10 nations of Europe. His coming surely is soon. We did a timeline in our studies. We don't have time to go into the timeline today. But we were encouraged from the book, from the Lord's book, that we are living in the time of the end for over 100 years now. And so the Lord will come quickly. Matthew 24, you still got Matthew 24 highlighted there? Matthew 24, verses 13 and 14 now. And here is counsel. Here is encouragement. But he that shall, what? Endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, what gospel is that? The gospel of Jesus Christ, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Take China, for instance. There are Chinese citizens today being sentenced to death whose only crime is assembling in private homes for Christian worship. Bibles are being confiscated. But the gospel will soon go to all the world, and then Jesus will come. Revelation 13 talks about the power of the beast. Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 and 12 say, And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a what? A lamb. And he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. When you look at the world right now, you see a very believable Revelation 13. The goals of the beast result in universal worship. All will worship together. All will soon be forced to worship false teachings and the commandments of men. The freedoms we enjoy today could go down with the setting of the sun someday, and they will. We don't have much longer. God is opening windows of opportunity to share precious words of life. Opportunities are opening up even in this community. Through persecution and conflict, the gospel of Jesus Christ will be preached to the entire world, and then the end will come. The most important thing that we could possibly do is to establish our relationship with Jesus Christ just now, while we have an opportunity. To make sure that it is solid. To make sure that we know Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 and verse 1 to 3. We could almost recite this from memory, I'm sure. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. We are in Christ when we are in his word. Jesus reveals Himself to us in His Word, and that relationship with Jesus is all that matters. The only thing in this life today is to stay with Jesus, stay connected, and help others get connected to the source of eternal life. And so everything is lining up as foretold in prophecy. Are we lining up? Are we awake? Are we doing our duty to warn others? Are we really connected with Jesus? Are we watching? Are we praying? Matthew 25 makes a final statement that I would like to read to you this morning. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 13. This is perhaps the conclusion that we should conclude with. Matthew 25:13 says, repeat it with me if you have it there in front of you. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We need to watch and be ready. Jesus is coming soon. Don't allow anything to lull you back to sleep. Let's be ready, let's stay ready, and let's help others to get ready as well. In times like these, we need a Savior.